completely redesigned Bashani Radio app is hotter than ever. Now you can binge listen your favorite podcast show. And for those listeners that like to talk trash, excuse me, I mean give feedback. Just tap our new feedback button and run your mouth for 60 seconds. Download free for iPhone and Android in the App Store or listen online at BashaniRadio.com.
It's the Vinnie Randall Show.
Welcome to another edition of the Benny Randall Show. I'm your host, Benny Randall Jr., a.k.a. The Motivator. And this powerful show brings you conversations with today's stars and tomorrow's legends. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. Come on.
It's the Benny Randall Show.
Welcome to another edition of the Benny Randall Show. I'm your host, Benny Randall Jr., a.k.a. The Motivator, a.k.a. Billionaire Benny. And like always, you're listening to Bashani Radio app, or you can listen online at BashaniRadio.com. Thank you for allowing me into your hearts and your homes. And like always, we have another extraordinary episode. This is with the king. You hear what I say? This is the king of freestyle. His name is Stevie B. A new era of dance music was born when a Miami native, Stevie B, first independently released his single Party Your Body, hit South Florida's glittering club scene in 1987. After years of paying his dues, doing everything from mowing lawns to washing cars, Stevie B's skills as a writer, producer, and performer thrust him into the pop spotlight. Party Your Body worked its way across America, eventually selling over 500,000 copies, and an amazing achievement for an independently released single. The success paved the way for Stevie's debut album, Party Your Body. The album gave birth to two more hit singles, Dreamin' of Love and Spring Love, which propelled the album of RAA Platinum status. In 1989, Stephen B's sophomore effort, In My Eyes, showed him growing as an artist as the songs took on much more sophisticated flavor. In addition to his trademark dance songs, the album also features smooth and soulful ballads and giddy pop tunes. The first single, I Wanna Be the One, solidified Stevie's crossover into the pop market as the song rose into the Billboard's top 40. However, the power ballad Love Me for Life that Stevie B took all the way to the top 10 and made him the artist with the highest debut song in history. I can go on and on and on, but why should I deny you the presence of the king, Stevie B? Good afternoon, Stevie. How you doing, brother?
Hey, I'm great, brother. Thank you for having me on your show.
Oh, absolutely. We just glad to have you on here, man. Extraordinary bio. So I always like to start off shows like this. I believe, Stevie, that the glory is in your story. Tell us about your jobs prior, mowing lawns to washing cars. How did that set you up to become this mega superstar?
Well, you know, nobody really knows that you're going to become what a lot of recording artists or even superstars. They probably could never have imagined it on these levels. But of course, we all aspire to do something. But in the meantime, you still have to make a living. And during those those years of, you know, mowing lawns and all those type of things. I was in junior high school bands. So we all have this aspiration to do better. We just want to do better and better and better. And you have the back of your mind, oh, well, maybe I think I can do this. Or, you know, you have those optional pivots that you can go to if situations put you in place to be able to do it and do it the correct way. So when I was, you know, back there just hustling and trying to find my way and take care of my family at the time, you know, you do what you have to do. But at some point I said, you know, I'm going to start investing in equipment. I think I want to be a producer and an engineer. So the first thing I started to buy was gear to go into a little studio that I wind up putting down in Florida City. And that's where I did the BVSMP record, I Need You, and a couple of other big tracks I did down there. And then I moved up to Lauderdale, where I went to a bigger spot. So each one of those processes was growing me to get ready for something. Now, you know, by the luck of the draw and some blessings, you wind up getting a cool little national or a local record, and then it goes national, and then you get picked up. And, you know, history was kind of made from there. But each one of those things that I put out there, and I wanted the public to see my past and get an understanding that, you know, in a real way, things are possible. I mean, they really are possible. And I put that in there, and hopefully it'll inspire people that maybe not where they want to be, but each step is growing you towards that direction. So that's what had happened to me. And, you know, a lot of this was, you know, pretty much luck, too.
You know what I enjoy, you know, people don't know, you know, I come from Fort Lauderdale, and I used to, that was, you know, I was the dancer back in the days for some dance groups like Afro-Rican and things like that. And I used to, you know, practice to Stevie B songs, because those was the songs that you needed to move to. You know, I never knew I would be where I was, but, you know, it's very, very powerful. So when was that moment, Stevie, that you knew you had the gift? You knew you had that gift when you was making that record?
Well, that happened a couple times, but I always had this mindset that I don't like to do demos. It's just a waste of time. If I start putting an idea down, maybe start with the beat has to be fire. And then I build the meal around that, especially when you're going into the club scenes. So you have a great groove, and everything starts from the groove, and then you start picking up melodies. And then, of course, the subject matter and all that stuff comes after. But when I was doing Party of Body, I used to listen to the expose, all the stuff from all their producers, and TKA. And I, you know, remember, they came first. So I would listen to them and say, hey, you know what? I could do that. And then when I couldn't get anybody to come in and do the vocals and stuff like that, I just said, you know what? I'll do it myself. And then, you know, Party Body was, you know, came out of that studio. And you knew it. You feel it. Just like, you know, when the Afro-Rican record was hot. You know, you just know it. When you're in that environment, everybody's giving you that nod. Then, of course, you know, you print it up and send it to the record pools. And hopefully a few stations will pick up on it. But I was fortunate enough that the Party of Body record took off in New York. And once New York opened its arms, everything kind of blossomed from there. Everybody picked up on it, because New York was sort of like that mecca. Everybody looked to get the new stuff coming online.
Yeah, and believe it or not, it's still to that day, because we're located in New York City in Manhattan. And what brought you to the mind was I was at an event, and they started playing Part of Your Body. I was like, stop playing. That's Stevie B, man. Stop playing. And this was like last week. You understand what I'm saying? You know what I mean? And you set the place on fire. You know what I mean? But it's like you came out the snow and you went right into the fire. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? So I said, you know what? I got to reach out to Stevie B, because this guy's music is still being played today. And I think that's incredible. And you know how hard it is to pinch New York City here. You know what I mean? You know,
very tough.
When you get in New York, the whole world is going to listen. So, you know what I thought was interesting? What you said that you couldn't get someone to do the vocals, so you sung it yourself. So your intention was you was writing this song for somebody else?
Yeah, because I, at the time, I was more focused on being an engineer and a producer. So, of course, yeah, like I said, I grew up in junior high school bands and that kind of thing. I knew I could probably lay down a track or sing something. But you got to remember, I never honed on my writing skills at that. I was just starting to be a writer, let alone trying to be a producer and an engineer and trying to, you know, dabble into the keyboards and all those type of things. And all of a sudden, now I gotta write a song. The subject matter has got to be cool. It's got to be hip. And you got to remember also, at that time, I was already 28, 29 years old.
Mm.
I wasn't a teenager just doing this. I mean, I was a family man and had a little belly back in those days and just had my family belly.
And don't worry about it, Stevie. We all have a belly.
I tell my kids, I say, don't worry about this belly. This is very expensive belly right here.
There it is. I like that. He said very expensive belly.
Knowing when you got something, you just know it. And if I don't have that feeling going into a record, I would never even press it. I would never even release it. I think every record I ever made was a hit record because I don't do demos.
So you know what's powerful, though, because you do something that most dance artists don't do. You produce, write, sing, and maybe even engineer your own records. You know, I think that kind of set you apart because, you know, back in the days, I remember when I was Dance for Africa and we'll be with groups like Exposé and all these other groups and whatnot. But a lot of them had writers and, you know, producers who did it. But you kind of stood out producing your own. Do you think that's what made it so much more personal and people connected with it because it was authentically you?
I think maybe that may be one of the attractions. I mean, I always really, and I tell you on an honest perspective, I always just did music that I liked.
Mm.
I was my own program director. I was my own A&R director. And I said, well, you know, some songs I used to like when I was coming up in my social gathering. Some people didn't like Peter Frampton. They didn't like a lot of groups that I listened to. So I had my own taste. So when I began to say, you know what, what would I do in this song? What would I really feel? What would be the bass line? What would be the percussions and all these kind of things? It had to come from my own inspiration. And then I have to try to realize it in a musical form. That's very difficult to do because sometimes the way you think it and the way you hear it in your mind, that's not the way it's going to come out.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, and then, you know, as amateur as I was in every one of those hats that I was wearing, I don't know what was going to come out of the kitchen. I mean, I know I'm in there with the right kind of ingredients, but everybody can't cook the same.
That's
right. They can't cook the same exact stuff. But everybody got their own flavor. So as much as I was probably trying to sound like some other stuff or sound like somebody else, it just really came out like Stevie B.
Mm-hmm.
I try to sing soul music, it sound like Stevie B. I'll try to sing Al Green, it sound like Stevie B.
Mm-hmm.
So evidently that Stevie B brand, that unique sound of Stevie B, must have had something magical to it. The phrase, like you were saying, the phrasing or maybe the personal element, but all of those different things that were developing me in my younger years, my taste of music, and then my opinion of music, because that's basically what you get when you get a recording artist. It's an opinion of what I think that you're going to like me as well as some of the other people that are doing this business. What's going to make me unique? What's going to make me special?
Mm.
So there must have been something in those decisions that I was making, the choosing of kick drum, snare drum, hi-hat, the team members. Toga was with me at the time. And we used to sit there hours and hours just picking a melody or just picking a sound that can go along with what you already had. So it wasn't just going through there, pick a little bell sound. No, it had to be a unique thing that's going to enhance the track. So making those decisions, that's a producer decision. Then as an engineer, we have to make everything sound sonically correct. This is a big undertaking.
Mm-hmm.
Then I got to write the vocals, have the subject matter good, the tone. So evidently that Stevie B signature has something about it, and it stuck. And, you know, you don't know if it's going to be signature, because a lot of people sound like other people. You know, mm-hmm. they got people sounding exactly like George Benson or exactly like whoever it is. They say, you sound exactly like Whitney Houston. Well, that person probably couldn't have much success because we already have Whitney Houston.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to Whitney Houston, and then you got Anita Baker. And they're two different things. So the Stevie B thing was a different thing than what everybody else was. And it got some footing, and tried to, you know, After Part of Your Body, of course, Dreaming of Love, and then Spring Love, and then, you know, it goes on and on. But I try not to write the same song two times.
Mm. You know,
that's a unique part of it.
So let me ask you this, Stevie, before we go to this little short break. Let me ask you this right quick. How much of your music is part of your life? Because your music, a lot of times, is thinking of, it's very positive. And as I listen to you on this interview, you were very humble. You know, I don't think people know that, because, you know, you're talking like you didn't even know you had that superstar status, and here you are years and years later, and you still killing the game. And we're going to go into that, because I think a lot of times people are not humble, and you're very humble about your success. And that's probably why you've been here so long. So my question is, how much of this music is part of your life and things you experience, you know, or were you always out to make people have a good time?
Well, the answer to that question is all of it, because I don't write. So everything that I've ever written was a real emotion, a real experience. And sometimes I tell the fans, I say, your experiences have to catch up to my music. Because I'll be able to feel it today. Depends on your age and what you've gone through, this and that. You know, if I talk about a divorce, or I talk about makeup to breakup, you don't know makeup to breakup until you went through a makeup to breakup.
Right.
So you might not have feel it. I'm not feeling this song now. Once your ass get into a breakup situation, you're going to go back, and I say, go back and listen to my albums, and you're going to find something in there that's going to match your experience at some point. So what I'm writing, I don't write based on what fans is going through. I write based on what I'm going through, and I might be 20 years ahead of you.
Mm.
So what I might be going through is I'm going to be 64 years old. Like I told you, I started my career off when I was almost 30, and I've been at this for 30, 35 now. I was thinking about my marriage, actually, but this is 35 plus. That's wow. 35 plus years. So what I might be talking about at the time might be a person that has gone through hell and back probably five times. So wow. To get that understanding, so sometimes I have to put an idea out there and talk about a certain type of subject that some people, you know, just can't get past Part of Your Body. Well, if you can't get past Part of Your Body, then you don't know that at some point I stopped parting my body, I was dreaming of love. And at some point, you know what, I found my spring love because she was in my eyes. So each one of these things is a yearning within me. And how do you express it? How do you come up with something unique? Every one of the songs is a part of what my state of mind was at the time. All of them, every one of them.
Mm. Yeah, man, I absolutely love this, ladies and gentlemen. And if you're just joining us, you're listening to The Benny Randall Show, powered by Bashani Magazine. Every month we highlight extraordinary entrepreneurs who have made world impact or and still making world impact across the globe. And we'll be right back after this short break.
Brooklyn, Queens, Bronx, Long Island, and money-making Manhattan. Home of Bashani Radio App.
New York, here we come!
From Wall Street to the boogie down Bronx, keep it locked in. We started from the bottom. Now, we here. Bashani Radio App, or listen online at BashaniRadio.com. Now, we here.
Just in case you're joining us, you're listening to The Benny Randall Show. We're talking to Stevie B. We're heating it up in here in New York because it's like 20 degrees outside. Mm-hmm. But in all this snow, and you know I'm a little jealous of Stevie because he's in Rio. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure there's no snow on the ground. So we're a little jelly of you here, Brooklyn, Queens, Long Island, Manhattan, Staten, and everything global, okay? But it's all good. We got number love for you. But just in case you was under a rock and you don't mm-hmm. know who Stevie B is, check this out. Gentlemen, that ain't nothing but fire. That's what they was playing at the million. That's what they was playing at the millionaire event the other week. And that was like, hold up, I gotta holler at Stevie B, man. And you know, everybody around my age doing that, a whole bunch of millionaires in the house talking about party, your body.
I loved it, man.
So Stevie, you currently are still killing the game, and not too many people are doing that. They have disappeared from the scene. What's the key to your longevity?
I think that one thing I established early on was I backed the music up with performances when we didn't have the internet in 1986-87. So you had to go out and do what they used to call, you know, that chitlin circuit. You had to go out and get to know your fans, build your fan base up. So mm-hmm. even though you might have had a record that's playing in clubs or on the radio or whatever else, you still had to go out and prove yourself as worth your weight in gold for people to come out and see you perform. So early on, I started off putting a band together. I didn't want to be seen as a track act. So immediately, I went out as a band where a lot of the artists in the freestyle were strictly track acts because they used to fly to New York. They could do 10 shows. You got a couple of people. You were out with Derek, you know what y'all had to go through, mm-hmm. You know, to have that many people on the road. So, but once we came on the road, it was clear that a lot of the clubs and all those kinds of things didn't want to be having to do production. They don't want to, you know, do sound monitors. All they do is hook you up with a microphone and put you up with a piece of tape. And, you know, at that time, you had reel-to-reel tape. And put you on stage, you lip-sync your song, and you go off. You made your little money. And, you know, a lot of artists actually made a lot of money doing that. But I didn't want to go out like that. I was really serious about trying to just do something different than that. And I said, you know, I'm going to do it differently. I know I'm going to get some feedback on it. And I did. I mean, I fought with a lot of the clubs in the early stages of, you know, getting them to get sound people to come and do a band. And I had to have live drums and keyboards and all those kinds of things. So all those kinds of things established me as a performer. People got to evidently like not only the Stevie B sound, but they actually liked something that I was doing on stage. I don't know, it was the look, the sound, my presence on the stage, my connection with the audience, all of those things that I knew that was important. But you don't know if people going to like you or, you know, come and spend money to come see you sing these songs. So once I established that, I mean, I put a lot of effort in to fortify that for Stevie B and be different than what everybody else doing. And here we are 35 years later, and, you know, and matter of fact, it got probably 10 times bigger because we're only doing big arenas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the internet has changed the paradigm of music and how you reach the fans. And, you know, I was online looking at some of your stuff and, you know, you're still rocking the audience. You still got dancers and see and a band and all of that makes a difference because, like you said, there are people who had great songs, but they didn't have that whole thing. I think that's one thing I liked about dancing for Afro-Rican that, you know, we were the dancers there to hype it up and they were doing their thing. So you were always getting a show. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that experience was incredible. But looking online, you're still bouncing around, making these shows. You're still doing your thing on stage. I even see you bust a couple two steps every now and then. You know what
okay.
I mean?
Okay.
And ain't nothing wrong with that, Stevie. I'm gonna tell you. You know, I'm up there too, though. You know what I mean? And I okay. realize that that you know when you love something, it's never work. When you enjoy yes, something, it's never work. Did you foresee yourself being in the music industry this long, this successful, and this consistent?
I didn't stop my lawn service when I first was doing BVSMP down in Florida City. I had a studio and everything, and I kept my clients. I didn't. Foresee it other than I say, hey, you always got to have plan B in place. I had a family. I couldn't just stop. The music business didn't pay off in the beginning. It only cost me money, but it was an investment. It was seeds being planted and the effort itself brought back returns. Mm. Even as a producer, I was getting accolades for doing some of the first rap records and stuff like that in the beginning. And then went on just to do some fun records with the Hassan record and had to do a little thing with MC, with ADE, with the Freddy Krueger thing. I had fun and it did really well over in Brazil. And Adrian is a cool friend of mine. And he does well over in Brazil.
On both of us. He is ADE. I talk to him all the time.
Okay.
And he's a good guy, man. And
that's a story to tell of how big he was over here in Brazil as opposed to what he had done in the States. He was bigger in Brazil, and he knows that. And I try to bring him over here. I actually, for my big festival that I do every year here, I'm going to bring Adrian over the next time. So all of these elements played a part in how I established a relationship with the fans, which allows me still today, like you said, the internet made it very, very different. If we had the internet back in the day when I had those hit records, oh, you're talking about Justin Bieber type level.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Because just picture your song, Part of Your Body and Spring Love on TikTok at its hottest.
Oh, that's it. It's over. It was over.
You know what I mean?
It was over.
Especially when they have gotten a billion visitors. They have more visitors than Facebook and Google. Search and everybody goes to Google. So just imagine your hit song on you would have been killing the game.
I would. I'm a man. You know, and one thing that you mentioned is platforms, because this is how we establish the longevity. Now there's a downside to the platforms, but then there's a positive to the platforms. You don't have to invest in all those servers and creating all this code and all these things. $1 trillion. Just to do that. You got somebody that'll do it for you. All you have to do is manage it and they allow you to do it. Of course, there's some restrictions to it. And of course, sometimes the money is not good. But if you want to talk about how we establish and still growing, you know, I have a million, I think on my stats now is over a million plays. No, almost 2 million plays a week. And on Spotify, 2 million a week or even more. I think I need to go in there. Because they said I was breaking all kind of records. I was in 72 new countries. I didn't even know we had 72 countries.
Yeah, so 100.
They're talking about 72 new countries. I'm like, damn.
172, brother. 172. Yeah. And I just want to thank you, Steve, because, you know, I own a lot of shares in Spotify. So I appreciate you.
So these are the things that help keep me established. And then, you know, I go out there and ring my own bell all the time. These platforms really do ring the bell for you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So speaking on the platforms now, how has the music business changed now that, you know, you no longer have to have your vinyl. You no longer have to have a CD or a cassette. You literally can make a song and launch it to the world at 12 o'clock midnight via your platforms. You know what I mean? And be doing shows next week. How has that changed the game? Because a lot of people got lost in that because they wasn't ready for that change. And, you know, the internet made artists change. It made the music business change where you don't even need a major label anymore to break through doors.
Well, what you touched on is, It was the growth of a full industry, but it was the demise of industries of the past. So the analog industry was pretty much destroyed. Even the CD business was on its way, which we thought would last forever, was on its way to its demise also. Now, just like when we started using MIDI and using drum machines, and all of the electronic gear that was in the studio, those people that were still stuck with the analog bands and still recording the old way, they got left behind. Now, just like those people that didn't want to transition into the digital world now for the virtual world, a lot of us got left behind. Because if you're not willing to make the transition, you're going to die.
Absolutely.
You know, sperm go to zygote, zygote go to embryo, embryo go to fetus, fetus go to baby. You got to keep growing to the next thing or you're going to get washed down the toilet. So this is what happens to, you know, and what happens differently also. It's changing so quickly. So unlike where the music business probably didn't have a change since probably its inception, to going to tape machines and being able to do quad and all those other kind of thing, it probably took, 30 to 40 years for any progression to be made on the high fidelity side. But in the music business today, it's changing every 6 months, every 9 months, every year. And if you're an artist or a musician or someone who has invested in a certain direction, and then all of a sudden, if you don't see what's fixing to happen 9 months from now, then you're going to get left behind. So this is what happened to the people before us, and it happened to us, and it's going to happen probably to the people that are doing progressing in the music business and the communication business right now.
Absolutely.
There are things that are changing the way people communicate.
Yeah, it was funny that you say that, because even like this show right now, you know, this podcast right through our app, and it's streamed to every major network, you know, and we only have a small studio inside of New York that has allowed us to have 3 million people. It's like having 3 million people's phone numbers. You know what I mean?
That's right.
And globally, we can reach out to the world. You know, so we have changed with the times. And I remember I always wanted to be on radio when my voice started to change and I couldn't get it. And then now I knew why, because I was meant to be exactly where I'm at, owning this entire network.
You got the radio voice, Benny. I can tell you that. You got it.
Thank you, brother. Thank you, brother. I appreciate it. You know, and now, so where are you now? Do you live in the States? Do you live in Rio? And where will you be? And when will you be back in New York?
I don't have anything booked for New York at this time, but everywhere else I am booked. So I'll send you the schedule, but my schedule starts again in March, and it's probably full now all the way to September, October. So I'm almost booked for the year.
Wow.
So, and that's normally how I do. I get booked the year before. So most of these shows have been booked 5 months ago. So the promoters, remember, we're doing 8,000-10,000-seat arenas. So things have to be, So these things have to be booked way in advance, 5-6 months advertisement, and then, you know, they do a big, huge campaigns. These things are with Live Nation most of the time, with Pacific Concert Group most of the time. So, they're big operations that these people don't work on top of the hour. They work 6 months ahead of time.
Yes, absolutely. So absolutely.
I'll be back in the States, starting in March in Los Angeles at the new YouTube theater there. And we're going through Philadelphia, all through Miami, all over the usual suspected places.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going to probably have to go to the Clearport and just show up at one of the events, man, because Stevie B been killing it. Stevie, let me ask, if people want to reach out to you, you're on Instagram and Facebook. How do they reach out to you?
Stevie B Official on just Stevie B, of course, on Facebook. And people that know how to search you, they'll find you. I'm on all the platforms, but just look under Stevie B Official on Facebook and Instagram, and they'll be able to find me very easily.
All right, ladies, that's Stevie B _ Official on Instagram. Official. That's STEVIEB _ Official. And look for the blue check. If you ain't got no blue check, I don't know what you checking for. You know what I mean? It is absolutely
blue check. The blue check brings green chips.
Woo! You better preach that, brother. You better preach that. You know what I mean? So what's next? Will you be bringing some new music out? What's next?
Well, I did an album right before COVID, and it got caught right in the COVID blast. I pulled it back a little bit. But there's a brand new album right now on Spotify and all the platforms called The Best of Life. And if you want to know where I am, like you said, about where I am emotionally, vision wise, where I think Stevie B music could go, that Best of Life album speaks for me at this time. That's where I want to be right now. And then, of course, I'm in here making some stuff for some ideas. I throw ideas around all through. I've had a studio now for 35 years, so I always have a studio at my home. But my son is a very big producer. He just did the Migos record. I Have It In My Way is my son. He produced that.
Wow. So, it runs in the family, huh? It's all in the genes.
He got it. He's doing stuff for Justin Bieber. He's doing stuff for Miami artist Bean. Post Malone. He's the kid who discovered Post Malone. My son discovered Post.
Wow. Now, how does that, Stevie, now let's think about that how does that make you feel as that parent that did this and now your son is taking it to another level? You did some right things, man. How does that make you feel seeing that?
Well, it always feels good when your kids can be, a part of anything positive and things that they love. Like you said earlier, once you, start working within the things that you love, you never do a day of work in your life. Everything is just all about what I loved to do. My son has always had a studio in his presence, and I pushed him for years. And of course, he was a teenager. He wants to go play football, paintball, wants to chase girls and all those kinds of things. But they want to finagle with the computers and things like that. And he started making beats for himself. And then all of a sudden, they're calling him everywhere. Everybody wants his beats. They want his drums. They want this and that. And then he learned how to orchestrate songs and put them together. And now he's working with some of the biggest artists in the world. So it's always fantastic. He's not the only one. My daughter's is doing very well. She went to cosmetology school. I have another daughter coming in. She's doing art and graphics. So all my kids do. My oldest daughter, she's a doctor. So, So it's a variety. But my wife and I, hopefully we put them in the right garden and them figure things out. And this is their own decisions. They figured it out within themselves.
Absolutely. And they had a great, I always tell people, the greatest way that you can teach your kids is by example. And I think 100%. That you have been an example, because you can tell them whatever you think you should tell them, but they will pay attention to what you do and how you do it. And you've been on your hustle and grind from, you know, from since I was a kid. You know, I mean, like every time I heard that Stevie B, I'd be still right now getting on the floor. They'd be like, what's wrong with you? I'd be like, I don't even know. Okay. I don't even know. But that music, you know, you get that part of your body, you better watch out. I might be doing some old moves, but that's all right. You know what I mean? All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to go to his Instagram, Stevie B underscore official. And what we're going to do, we're going to give out about 50 Bashani Radio t-shirts for, we're going to randomly pick people who like his Instagram in the next 24 hours from hearing this. This
episode. They can do the Facebook also, just a Stevie B fan page, a Stevie B exclamation point if they want.
All right.
And they can join my fan page as well. And I would love to see them over there. That thing is growing crazy every day.
All right, cool. So y'all heard it first right here on Bashani Radio. Your final words, Stevie. One, I appreciate you coming through and making the time and coming to speak to the listeners here. We freezing like ain't a mother sucker up in this piece, but that's okay, though. You know what I mean?
Look, Rio de Janeiro, it's just been raining a lot, but I love the rain. I lived in, you know, I have a place in Vegas, and we stay in Vegas while I'm in the States for the tour, but I have a home over in Rio. And I, you know, when I come home in December, I shut it down. I don't do anything. And I'm just enjoying the beautiful warm weather. I swam in my pool yesterday. Go to the beach every day. You know, I got one.
Hold up. I hear the violins, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. Do you hear the violins here? He's rubbing it in our face.
Don't crap in my sad situation.
You know what I mean?
No, but I'm blessed. I'm blessed. And I know I'm going to come back in March. It's probably going to still be a little cold, but I'm just grateful to have the time off in the beautiful Rio de Janeiro.
Oh, man, we love you, but we don't like you. I just thought you should know that, okay?
I can work with that. I can handle that.
We love you, but we don't like you. Not right now, because it was like, 6-7 inches of snow yesterday alone. You know what I mean?
I know all about it.
22 degrees. It's like walking in a refrigerator. Make no sense.
You know, I lived over in Left Rack City for a couple of years when I lived in New York.
Oh, really? So, oh, man.
Okay. I had a New York experience, and I got to tell you, that made me not like cold weather ever.
And, you know, the beauty of it is now I notice you pick two hot places, Rio and Vegas, because I'm always in Vegas a lot of times, you know, doing events.
Yeah.
I usually stay over there at the Wynn over there. But you pick two hot places, brother. You ain't playing, huh?
No, I know. They're both long stories. And one day when I get ready to do the documentary, you'll get a chance to hear all the stories behind those places.
I appreciate it, man. I appreciate it. One last thing. You did a book? Did you do a book, The Journey of a Perfect Man?
Yes.
That was your autobiography?
It's a written book, and it's an audio book also. I'm going to re-release it. I'm in negotiations now with a documentary company, and I'm going to let them take it over because they said it probably could become a docuseries because it's really my biography up until probably 2013, 2014. There's, you know, you're talking 58 years of life. Mm-hmm. I talk about it all. I mean, I lay it all on the line, and the great thing about it, it's coming from me. The worst thing that can happen to someone is somebody else write your biography for you.
Absolutely.
When you can write your own story, tell it your way, with your expressions, your humor, your sensitivities, and people get to hear my voice on it, and they get to hear my story. Life is, and if you're lucky, you get to have a long life. Mm-hmm. And there's ups and downs in there. And there's happiness, there's sadness, all of those emotions that we were meant to go through in this human experience is in there. How I dealt with them in some cases, I could have been better. I could have been a better person. I could have been a stronger person in certain circumstances. I could have been a more loving person, a more sincere person. So it let me realize all the things I was and I tried to be, all the things I achieved, and it let me see my failures also. And I live with it all. Mm. But it's a part of the human experience. For me, it's a part of the human experience that we go through those things. And I kind of pity people that didn't have, a poor life and then got wealthy. Because you appreciate once you get wealth, once you come from non-wealth. And people who are already wealthy, they should have the trading places experience for them to really appreciate what they really have, because a lot of human beings don't get an opportunity to see what we see when you have money and you go places. There are people that will never, ever get an opportunity to see those things. But we have to be careful that we lose our appreciation and our gratefulness. And that only comes when you have that dual experienced heart, dual experienced soul. You have to go through it to really appreciate it. Steven, I appreciate all the stuff I've gone through.
That was the best ending ever. That's the best way to say it, because trust me, I was so broke I couldn't pay attention. So
that's some dirty South shit right there. That's what we said. Yeah. I couldn't put a down payment on a honey bun, man.
You already know.
Remember,
brother.
I don't know if you remember Bear Claws when I was in college at FAM. Man, I ate some damn Bear Claws. I ain't had no money. I couldn't put 8 cents on a Bear Claw, brother.
I'm gonna tell you one Ron May told me. I know you know Ron May. Ron May told me so. Ron May say, if you rob me, you won't be doing nothing but practicing.
Because it ain't gonna have no results.
No results. You'll just be practicing, brother. You ain't gonna get nothing, but you'll be practicing. I was like, Ron,
yeah, that's one of them. Give that brother my best. Give Ron my best.
Absolutely.
And I appreciate your show, brother. And I got to know a little bit about you. I saw your site. I didn't read your book and how you made your wealth, but I got my family downstairs. Everybody's waiting on me. So we're going to get a chance to talk more. And any way I can help you realize your success, brother, I'm there to help you.
Stevie, and, you're always welcome. This is your home right here, Bashani Radio. All our listeners, this is your home. Anytime you want to come back, when you release that book, when you release that documentary series, just hit me back, brother.
I'll send it to you.
Absolutely. This is your home.
I'll send
brother.
It to you. And if you get time, just listen to the Stevie B story. I mean, you know.
Brother, I know the Stevie B story. I ain't even go deep. We only got a certain amount of time.
There's stuff that we put out and get out. But what it really, really was and what it really, really is, people don't have no idea how I got to Stevie B. I had 30 years of life almost before I even met Stevie B.
Wow, I love
there's so
it.
Much, there's racism, there's all kind of stuff. There's things that get you to break through that concrete and coming up out of that ground like that. There's stuff you got to go through it.
Absolutely, and, you got to go through it to get to it. That's what it is.
That's it. So to get to where you got, where even for you, you know, you had to go. I was telling somebody the other day, they said, well, in your book, you say you was a this and you said you was a that. And then you changed to this, and I say, you changed to that. I say, you was a sperm, then you became a fetus, and then you became a fetus. You thought you was a fetus when you was a fetus. You thought that's all you was going to be. So a lot of people think this is all they're going to be all the time. And I say, I went through that. And then I knocked on their door, and then I went through that. I changed. If something is not making you getting ready for a change, then you stagnant and you dead.
Mm.
Everything that you were was different than what you are right now. All of us. And we're going to be different on the next go around too, because this is just another womb, just like the sperm. He ain't know no better. And some of us don't know no better. That you're transforming all the time. And the fear comes with people and they don't let it all out. This is what I'm getting to. They don't let it all out. All of these things were meant for us to go through, but we're transforming all the time and don't get stuck. I was talking about a thing once sometimes about religion. You go meet Jesus until you know you love Jesus, until you meet Muhammad. Then you meet Muhammad, then you meet Shiva. Then you meet Shiva, then you meet the next one. Then you meet, you keep meeting them.
Mm.
But then you learn to appreciate all. You learn to appreciate every one of them instead of having to choose one of them and say, this is the only one. Nothing is the only one. Nothing is the only thing. There's a lot of things, a lot of emotions, a lot of experiences we're going to go through. And get ready for another one, because the way this fucking Omicron and this damn virus is trying to kill this damn thing, somebody is trying to kill everybody. Somebody is trying to kill everybody. So Jesus and whoever else, they need to come on. They need to just come the hell on. Because, you know, because people are getting a little bit disenchanted. You see?
Ladies,
so I talk about all these kinds of things in my book. I talk about things that are probably taboo for artists to talk about, because there would be fear and fear mm-hmm. of losing their career. But I'm already established, so when I send you the book, you'll understand what I'm talking about.
I'm gonna read it from page to page.
I talk about how I went through the racism down in Miami back in early '60s, '70s, all kind of stuff. Everything, all these topics that are hot topics today. It's, all of us have gone through it. You're probably a couple years younger than me, but I know you went through it.
Oh, absolutely, brother. I can appreciate, as you say, the dual perspective, because I know what it mm-hmm. was. I know how broke I was versus being on the mm-hmm. other side of the coin, and it gives you a whole different perspective, and mm-hmm. and it makes you appreciate not wanting to go back and understanding how you can help.
Ever again.
Right.
So if you want to know about, you were talking about the motivating factors, poverty was a motivating factor for me too. I wanted to be successful. I didn't want to be, you know, and then when I was cutting all that grass, I was cutting grass over by old Cutler in the Gables. Where, you know, you have $3 million, $5 million, $10 million homes. So I'm like, shit, I want to live over here. How do I get to do that? And then, of course, you know, life experiences start to tell you how you need to do it. You need to have a lot of money.
There it is.
So I want to be with the people that had a lot of money.
Me too. That's why I moved to New York and made it happen. And I tell you, I know you had some wish sandwiches, because I had those wish sandwiches. That's where you had two pieces of bread and you wish something was in the middle. So I know you understand it.
Look, Benny, let's talk some more, brother, and you don't have to be on the air. Let's chat every once in a while. I'm here.
All right,
and
brother.
Good to hear your voice.
Likewise.
And I appreciate your work that you're doing. I see you interviewing a lot of people out there, bro.
I appreciate you, brother.
I appreciate your independence, and I appreciate your success that you've had. We'll talk more and get to know each other a little bit better.
Absolutely. Stevie B, thank you for being here. Go to his IG when you hear this, Stevie B. _official, and you'll be able to find his Facebook. Let's light up his IG, and we're gonna make it happen, and y'all gonna win some free stuff. Appreciate you, brother. God bless, and thank you for your time.
Salam alaikum.
You alaikum asalam. Thank you so much for joining us over at the Benny Randall Show. I'm your host, Benny Randall Jr., aka The Motivator. And it's been my absolute pleasure to have you here once again on BashaniRadio.com. And what I realize is that when you're doing what you love and you love what you're doing, it's never work. Like Stevie B showed us, he came from nothing, mowing yards, doing part-time jobs, whatever it took for him to get where he wanted to go. Ladies and gentlemen, as he say, it's been more than 30 years he's been doing what he loves. The question is, are you waking up in the morning and doing what you love? It's all possible. If you take the word impossible and say, I'm possible. It's all about the perspective. Stevie B showed us that. He made music that he enjoyed making, and now the world enjoys listening. You can change the world, ladies and gentlemen, one person at a time, one listener at a time. Whatever it takes, you can change the world and have an impact. Stevie B, we thank you for being on the Benny Randall Show and Bashani Magazine. God bless. Make sure you download the app for Apple and Android. Or you can listen online at BashaniRadio.com. I love you, and you can't do a damn thing about it. Good night, New York, and the world. Bashani Radio, Benny Randall Show. Let's go. Good night.
Long Island, and money-making Manhattan, home of Bashani Radio app.
New York, here we come!
From Wall Street to the boogie-down Bronx, keep it locked in. We started from the bottom, now we here. Bashani Radio app, or listen online at BashaniRadio.com. Now we here.